listening to the 90web.com podcast, and I'm your host, Rulet. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the 90web.com podcast. This is not a council episode, unfortunately. This is another Narnia news in a nutshell. And basically what I'm going to do today is, since there's so much news, and there's a whole bunch of new images, Movie Phone has a whole character guide now with a bunch of great images of Cornelius, Reepy Cheep, Mira, well, not so much Mira, it's not really anything we haven't seen before, but really good shots of Glazel and Cypespion. So there's a lot of really good stuff out there you can just go ahead and take a look at. Narnia.com has a new update to the site, and there's a third Prince Caspian poster released. Nothing amazing. It's basically the same picture of Caspian we saw in the second poster, just a dark and light contrast to it. And then we have Starlog Magazine has a whole new article on Prince Caspian, and we might come up with some of this later with the rest of the council, but right now, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go over the 45-minute review that Ain't It Cool News did not too long ago. So be wary, this has a lot of plot spoilers in it. I'm not going to hold anything back, and I'm just going to give you my thoughts on it. He got to see the beginning of the movie, and so he starts off there saying that we start off seeing a bright star in the sky, and we find out that a new child has just been born. And it, basically, during the opening credits, is Caspian being pursued by the castle guards. And he said he really liked the opening credit sequence. It really thrust you into the action immediately. And it seems to be something that Andrew Adamson really likes to do. I mean, the first film doesn't start off in a tame setting whatsoever. It starts off during the Blitz in London. And he's apparently doing something similar with this film, which I don't really like, because I don't feel like you'll get to know Dr. Cornelius as well from the beginning and get as interesting an understanding of the character. But they are developing the character a little differently in this, so they may develop the character well. Again, like we've heard before, the nurse is not going to be in the story, which is really unfortunate. But anyway, he said basically it continues and to where Prince Caspian goes to the edge of the woods, and of course they show the Telmarines being afraid to follow him into the forest, like it was in the book. They were very superstitious of the forest, which is good. I'm glad they're keeping that in. And then they continue on. Caspian hits his head against a tree and falls off, and he doesn't, he basically wakes up to our three Narnians, Trumpkin and Nikabrick and Trufflehunter. And it seems like they're keeping a lot of the initial feelings of what it was in the book. Nikabrick, like the book, is very superstitious and against Caspian, doesn't like Telmarines at all, wants to kill him. So, and it also seems that Caspian is given the horn by Dr. Cornelius, but it doesn't seem like he finds out about the horn until later. It's like he's just given a package that the horn is contained in, and he finds out later what it is. It seems at this point in the story, really early on in the story, he goes ahead and blows the horn, and there's another fight with the Telmarines. But as to the horn being blown so early, I don't really like that. It makes it almost... It seems like it trivializes a bit that Peter and Susan, Edmund, and Lucy are coming back, because in the book, of course, it's a very serious issue, and they're fighting and for their lives, and this is seen as the last desperation, and they're basically in the last ditch here. But I guess it can work well from bringing the Pevensies in earlier, which does need to happen, I can see, from a story structure standpoint. So it's not a big deal, but I do wish that they were able, if they can convey the sense that this is even, that it is not a simple thing, just blowing the horn and calling the others back, then I won't have so huge of a problem. We'll have to see with the movie when it comes out. He goes on to talk about the next sequence, which is our reintroduction to the Pevensies. And in this sequence he basically sees Lucy running down the street, and she runs up to a fight that's going on involving Peter and another boy, and Edmund jumps in to help out, and Susan tries to break it up, and apparently it's broken up by a couple soldiers. And when the girls ask what starts it all, it seems that Peter, for some reason, got into the fight and feels like he wishes he was King of Narnia again and doesn't really like being back in war-torn Britain and being a schoolboy again. As to this change, I really don't like it. I mean, I understand they're wanting to develop the characters a little more, but I think they could definitely do it without going the whole, well, let's correct the flawed hero account, because it seems like they try to do this in every single film, which I don't really like, that they're trying to keep fixing it, and like they try to break the hero and then fix him in each film. It seems like they did it in Lord of the Rings with Aragorn and Faramir as well, and to an extent Frodo, and I don't really like that they're doing it here at all. I think that it really takes away a lot of the credibility that Peter has coming to Caspian's aid, and I don't think that it's going to I really don't like that they're changing my favorite character as well in this respect. I think it'll be harder for the audience to really see Peter as even a competent leader when it's not... And Peter was very, very humble in the books. And even in the movie, he was much more humble in the first film. I don't know how... it just seems even... It doesn't seem like it would even work from a movie standpoint in continuing from the first film. But anyway... He continues on to talk about how they basically go back into Narnia, and they find the ruins, and they're, of course, surprised that it's been so long in Narnia. But then he goes to see a new section, and he talked to Andrew Adamson about Reepicheep, and he said that basically... That Eddie Izzard was really crucial to finding the voice and the character and really developing what the character was. Apparently, Reepicheep was introduced pretty early on, and he said it doesn't seem like it's too long after we see Caspian. He's, of course, joined by the Badger and the Dwarves, and the Badger is, he said, of course, completely CGI. And... it sounds like there's also a lot more action here. There's a whole new scene with the Telmarines fighting some of the creatures. Caspian loses the horn. Truffle Hunter has to go and grab it. Reepicheep attacks Caspian, not knowing who he is. Another case of mistaken identity, apparently. And they call off the other voices. But he talks about Izzard's voice, and he says that Eddie Izzard is. He's not too sure about how it works with the character. He said it's a very unique voice, but he said he never went over the top, even because he's known as a comedian, and he didn't want him to be the crazy hip sidekick or anything like that. And so he was, fairly happy with how he did. He just said that he's never really been too impressed with him as an actor. In films, but we'll see how it works. A lot of, personally, I think that Eddie Izzard's voice is great, and I like his work in films. But anyway, continuing on. Anyway, then the interviewer got to see Trumpkin. He basically, it sounds pretty similar to the book. He's rescued by the Pevensies from the Telmarines, although he does fall in the water, and apparently he's rescued, so it looks like that is Peter or Edmund who's jumping in the water in those scenes. Apparently there's a whole bunch of questions that he asks the kids, like, why did they let Narnia fall? Why did they abandon their subjects? A lot of things that... so it sounds like he's much more confrontational than in the book. But to a degree, they're certainly keeping him similar to how he is in the book. He doesn't seem like it's a huge character change. I don't really mind that at all. I think it's those kind of questions that he's going to ask are a lot of natural questions that a person would ask the Pevensies. They do keep the whole bit with the bear in. The bear runs up and to attack them, and Lucy thinks it's an intelligent bear. But she finds out that a lot of the beasts have gone wild. Anyway, it's Susan, however, who kills the bear, which is another change from the book. Susan's, as we've seen before, is being changed to a much more warrioress type of role, and I just don't like it at all. As you know, won't say too much about it. I think it would be really great if we could see Trumpkin beating her to the bear after she beats him to the archery contest. And I think it really, you lose a lot of the tenderness in her character. And that's something I think even in the first film, because in the books it was Lucy the Valiant, Susan the Gentle. It seems like they've completely switched those off. Even in Lucy to a degree, Lucy's the gentle one, Susan's the valiant one. I think it's going to be really odd. I mean, you really have to wonder, okay, we can see why Lucy's called Valiant, even in the movies. Why is Susan called the gentle? It doesn't seem to hold anything anymore. And I think that this one moment here would have been the perfect opportunity, even if they kept in the stuff later, to establish, yes, she has a gentle heart, and she doesn't like to, you know, risk killing things. She doesn't like killing things. That's just something she doesn't like to do. And that's not a flaw, that you don't like killing things. And I don't like that at all. But anyway, that's my short spiel there. Next, the castle raid sequence. Apparently, it is an attempt to rescue Dr. Cornelius. The Narnians go in to rescue Cornelius. The whole attack is led by Peter. And apparently the reviewer said that Peter here is very over-cocky and is completely, basically thinks he's king here, he can do whatever he wants. So they go in, Reepy Cheep and everyone is involved, Edmund's flying in with the Griffins with Susan. There's a huge fight. Caspian, in the middle, after rescuing Dr. Cornelius, decides he wants to challenge Miraz to a duel. The result of this is that a lot of the Narnians get slaughtered. And that is the quote from the reviewer, slaughtered. And basically afterwards, there's a huge argument between Peter and Caspian, where Peter says that Caspian slowed them down and caused the death of a lot of the Narnians. And Caspian says that Peter was too cocky and caused the deaths in the first place by thinking that it could be a successful mission. And he says it's a staggering lesson in humility for Peter. Here we just see more of the development they're taking in Peter and Caspian's character. We do know that the serious disagreement Adamson talked about to Glumpuddle when Glumpuddle was in Prague is not apparently the fight we see them fighting with in the sixth production blog. But as to the whole sequence, I'm not sure. I mean, it seems kind of like it's the whole thing is for character development, and I'm not sure it's for character development in a good way. I don't really mind the scene being in there by itself being a night raid sequence. It doesn't seem like a bad storytelling decision, and it can work. But it doesn't seem like... one thing I said months and months ago, I don't remember when, was that it's very important for Caspian to have a very reverential view of Peter. And it really seems like this is being lost, which I think is a huge problem, because when you don't have Caspian really revering Peter, it seems like, well, Peter, you just come in and screwed everything up, you know? It doesn't seem like Peter's really helping in a lot of this, at all. It seems like, it almost seems so far like Caspian would be better off without Peter. Finally, he talks about the mano-a-mano sword fight between Peter and Miraz. And he says it's a really brutal fight. There's broken limbs. It's much longer and brutal than anything in the first movie, he says. And he says, as someone who really didn't care for the first film, I was impressed with the footage that he showed me. It's difficult to judge the whole, as you can take any movie and remove sequences that play better out of context. However, I saw enough to be confident that the tone is much more appealing to my own personal sensibilities. So it sounds like it's a much more gritty film, like everyone's been saying. A lot of the reviewers that I've seen who've seen it early on have really liked it better than the first film, which of course, I'm really pleased with. And he says that as far as the acting, he says he wasn't really impressed by anyone. He said, you know, he doesn't think any of them are very good actors, although he thinks that they certainly do all right. He says that he was most impressed with Edmund Scandakines, who, of course, impressed him the most in the first film. He said he has a natural quiet manner that most of them don't have. He says, final thoughts, he really liked the tone. He thought it had more challenging ideas. He liked that it was much more real and heavy sequences, and he felt that the consequences were much more in-depth as far as what happens to the decisions that the children make. He said he loved, he's a little kid, and he loved seeing all the CG creatures and the fantasy elements. And he said basically only in a fantasy movie can kids kill adults and still be perfectly okay. So he loved the look of it. He said the only real drawback he got was the lack of growth in from the characters, and he didn't really like the standard performance from Barnes. But he said fans from the first one will like this one, and he said it'll maybe earn new fans. And so he said that's about as much as he can say from the footage he saw. I'm feeling pretty optimistic, despite a lot of the changes here. At least the whole Caspian Susan thing, again, is not big enough that he saw any of it. Didn't go into any of the footage he saw, so we know there's at least 45 minutes in the movie where it doesn't seem to pop up. I'm really looking forward to the sword fight between Peter and Miraz. Not the sword fight between Peter and Caspian. But the Miraz fight is just one of my favorite moments in all of the Narnia books, and I'm really hoping it's done well and done realistically with really good theatrical swordplay. And hopefully nothing like we saw in Gladiator. Hopefully it'll have the type of quality that The Lord of the Rings had and some of those films. So that was Ain't It Cool News' review, and it's getting more interesting every day. I remember I saw one of Glumpuddle's video blogs, and he says it's getting so close to seeing the movie now, it's actually almost, you almost forget that there's a movie even coming out. You just get so used to waiting for it that you forget that it's actually going to come out. You're going to see it. So here's hoping to a great Narnia film, and hope you all check out the forums, check out the news. There's a whole bunch of news every day. It's getting really intense, and I'm having to be much more selective in what I do for the podcasts. So hopefully we'll have a new council episode soon to discuss some of the news, and eventually we'll have our own council review of the film, and you'll all get to hear that. Again, check out Lion Con and look it up there to see if you're able to go ahead and register, and that way we can get a good idea of how many people are going. I'm hopefully going to be able to go. I would really love to meet M. David Melvin, who's the producer, writer, and director of C.S. Lewis' Dreamer of Narnia, because I'm an aspiring filmmaker myself, and I would love to meet him and tell him in person how much I appreciated that film. I think it was a great documentary. Also, go ahead and check out the Lion Parties, see if there's one in your area, and if there are none in your area, go ahead and consider starting one up yourself. We're having one in Kansas City, and we're going to have our own sword fight before the movie, so just in case the Miraz-Peter fight isn't good, we're going to make sure that ours is good. So, if you want to email me, you can email me at rillian@narniaweb.com, and until next time, I'm your host, Rillian. Thanks for listening.